Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. You may have seen the picture circulating on social media. The Sarasota Sheriff's Department responded to a call about an 11-foot gator that wound up in someone's backyard swimming pool. Wildlife officials say springtime springing is at least partly to blame for animals' more adventurous behavior as they seek out food and mates. And that got us thinking about how the changing season affects animals. So we're joined now by Dr. Jerry Jackson. He's the professor of ecological sciences at FGCU and heard weekday mornings here on WGCU. To you with his long-running Out with the Wild Things segment. Dr. Jackson, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be here.
It's so great to have you. Have you seen any changes in the behavior of animals in your yard or neighborhood? Or maybe you just have a question for Dr. Jackson about animal behavior in general. To join the show, give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCO. So let's start with alligators. Did you see the picture?
I did not see the picture, but an 11-foot alligator? I wouldn't want that in my pool.
That's not small. So what's going on with alligators this time of year?
Well, it's not just alligators. It's springtime. And that phrase, the rites of spring, applies not only to us but also to wildlife out and flowers and everything else. Springtime is rebirth. Mm-hmm. And it's the time when lots of things are mating and searching for mates and defending nests and doing all kinds of courtship. And alligators, the males are – and that was probably a male because of its size – are out looking for mates.
Yeah. How did he end up in a pool?
Well, the other thing is that we're at the end of the dry season. And so pools are drying up. As they dry up, fishes and other critters that are in the water are concentrated, so they get a lot of food. But then it dries up and they have to go elsewhere to find more food. So it could have been looking for food too, as you suggested earlier.
Yeah. Wow. It's just – I can't imagine an 11-foot alligator in the pool. So what do you think people should consider when they're in places that alligators might be? What kind of things should you do to make sure you don't – I don't know, stand in the way of –
Well,
prowling male.
If you're in Florida, you're in alligator country.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're a fact of life down here. The key is be aware of alligators. You never want to bend over in front of an alligator.
No.
Because that makes you the size of some of their favored prey. And they might attack, particularly if you're down near the water. But the key is don't approach an alligator. Don't feed an alligator for sure, because if you feed one, then they're going to learn to come toward people and we don't want them coming toward us. In general, alligators are going to leave people alone because they're afraid of people and people can do them harm and they're too big. You probably wouldn't taste good either.
Yeah.
But they
we
can –
We are pretty tall, I guess. You know, when you're on the ground, we look extra tall.
They can and do attack people on occasion, particularly during the breeding season. A female defending her nest or defending her young and or eggs. A male defending a mate or searching for a mate that's all of a sudden surprised might attack. And don't let that sleepy alligator on the bank fool you. Those legs that are out to the side – can all of a sudden be rotated inward under the alligator's body, and it can run, some say, as much as 40 miles an hour for a short distance, which is faster than you can run.
That's faster than me for sure, definitely. Yep. Wow, I didn't know they can get that fast.
They can for a short time. And of all, most important, don't let small children out near an alligator.
Absolutely, yeah, and the little
or your dog,
your little dogs, yeah.
Dogs are hors d'oeuvres for alligators.
Yeah, where do they lay their nests? Is it right next to the ponds?
Usually, it's not. Usually, it's in a relatively moist area, but not necessarily a wet area. Usually, it's going to be a few feet to sometimes 100 feet or more away from the water, and they build up a mound of decaying vegetation. Lay their eggs inside, and then they can we'll monitor that. The female will lay right next to it or on the mound, and she can determine the temperature inside and change the temperature by adding material or taking material off the mound.
So she's monitoring that temperature for her eggs. So I wanted to ask a little bit about temperature. We had a kind of cold winter with a few good cold snaps there. Is there any correlation between a cooler winter and animal behavior in the springtime? Do they change much?
It can change. When it's cooler, they can't eat. and food in their digestive tract can decay and rot and form gases and make them sick, essentially. So they don't eat when it's cold. And as a result, come spring, when the weather warms up and the water levels go down and the food is concentrated, then they gorge themselves on the food just before the breeding season.
Oh, so then they have all the energy.
Yep.
Either that, or they don't. Do they get lethargic like we do after Thanksgiving?
Probably so.
Maybe a little. I wonder if this has changed much in the decades as temperatures in general have kind of gone up.
It is going to change, and it's going to change differently for different kinds of things. This year, some birds that normally would be nesting now and have young in the nest don't seem to be nesting yet at all. So whether it's the result of Hurricane Irma, during Hurricane Irma, a lot of food supplies for the winter for birds were lost. Any trees that had berries on them were stripped of their berries by the winds.
Yeah, and a lot of trees went down. A lot of nests went down.
Yep.
Did you see much as far as residual after Irma, as far as the larger birds, you know, like our ospreys losing their nesting sites?
A lot of them lost their nests. And things like ospreys and bald eagles will use the same nest year after year after year. And if it blows down, then they have to spend a lot of energy building a new nest in the spring, which they do. Mm-hmm. But even small birds will sometimes reuse a nest. Loggerhead shrikes, for example, in southwest Florida will use the same nest for 3 or 4 years in a row. And they lost all of those old nests. They were just torn out of the trees by the winds.
Yeah. That's a lot of work for them, too, to just start over from scratch.
It is, particularly if they're nesting in places like parks, which loggerhead shrikes normally are nesting in parks and parking lots, places where the grass is mowed because the mowers grind up any twigs that are there. And so nesting material is at a premium.
And you don't have to fly it as far to get to.
they have a hard time getting enough material to build a nest.
Yeah. We're talking about how warming springtime temperatures affects the animal world around us during this part of today's show. My guest is Dr. Jerry Jackson. He's a professor here at FGCU and host of Out with the Wild Things, heard weekday mornings on WGCU. To ask a question or make a comment, give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So are there any strange behaviors that we might notice in animals this time of year?
Oh, there are all kinds of strange behaviors.
What's one of the weird ones?
It's a wonderful time to be a bird watcher or just a wildlife watcher. I highly recommend going out, finding a comfortable place to sit and watch. And one of the things you'll see, for example, is Florida state bird, the northern mockingbird, is displaying right now and defending territories. And the males from opposite territories or adjacent territories will decide on a boundary line. And they decide on the boundary line by dancing with one another. They're jumping up and down, facing one another, only a foot apart.
They're having a dance fight?
And they move along this line. And through their dancing, they come up with an agreement as to where the
it's
boundary
like
is going to
story.
Be.
It's like West Side Story.
Yeah, right. It is. Yeah.
It totally sounds like West Side Story.
Females will also defend a territory and also will dance defending against another female. It's always male against male and female against female.
What kind of dance are we talking? Is it kind of like just stomping their feet in place like a river dance?
Yeah.
Or, wow.
Except they're jumping up and down as they're doing it. They're moving along and they're going one direction and then the other direction. And what they're doing is drawing that line.
I've never seen that. I mean, where do you find something like that happening?
You can find it anywhere. I see it on campus all the time.
Really?
Yep. And in addition, another behavior that's very common at this time of year is that birds like cardinals and northern mockingbirds and sometimes others will see their image in the mirror of a car or see their image in a reflection in a window. And they think it's another individual and they want to defend their territory against it. And so they will fight that image in the mirror, pecking at it, trying to chase it away, and it simply doesn't go away. So if you've got that problem with a car, the answer is simple. Put a plastic bag or a paper bag over the mirror. And then the bird won't be perching on your car all day long and
do that while it's stopped,
leaving little deposits on the car
from
time to time. But the bag will make it go away and defend against a real bird.
This is when it's parked, though. The Florida Highway Patrol would probably not say on the highway is a good idea to keep that bag on there.
Take the bag off before you leave.
Definitely a good idea. Yeah, I've got a woodpecker outside of my window that is always trying to perch himself up there, and he's talking.
Yeah, and he sees his reflection in the window.
Yeah, they get kind of loud, too, don't they?
Sorry?
Some of these birds get kind of loud.
They can. They'll peck on the window and a woodpecker in particular can get loud. Birds sometimes also can see through one window to a window on the other side of the house, and they think they can fly through that tunnel.
Yeah.
And essentially commit suicide by trying to do it. So if you have windows opposite one another on opposite sides of the house, it's always a good idea to have drapes or something to block the view so that birds can't hit the glass.
Or also have something in between those two windows, because anybody that is a practitioner of Tai Chi feng shui. Feng shui. It's not a good idea to have that straight line all the way through the house.
No, never is.
Yeah.
But sometimes you got a bird feeder there.
Yeah.
And if the bird is disturbed by a dog or a cat or something coming close, it may try to fly away and escape down that tunnel.
Oh, that's not so good.
Then it gets hurt.
Are there any other mammals, like maybe feral hogs or deer, that are doing anything strange this time of year?
Everything is doing strange things, just like people do strange things when they fall in love.
Yeah.
It's for sure. Right now, there are a lot of animals moving that are searching for mates. Males usually move more than females. One of the mammals in Southwest Florida that we have that is probably searching for mates right now is the big cypress fox squirrel, which is an endangered species. It's an endangered subspecies. And they can move over several miles in the course of a day. And they really do wander in search of females. And as a result, because their home range is so large, they have to cross roads. And when they cross roads, they get hit by cars. And this is a time of year that raccoons and possums and bobcats, Florida panthers, and squirrels are wandering around looking for mates, looking for places to nest, and as a result get hit by cars. So it's a time when you really need to be particularly cautious as you're driving, watching for wildlife, especially at dawn and at dusk. There can be things like river otters, for example, that are on the move, and they too can move several miles in the course of a day, having to cross several roads in order to get from one place to another.
Are river otters as solitary as some of these other animals? I know that the Florida panther, they have large ranges, and like the squirrel you were mentioning, have kind of a large home range where they have to find somebody else. They've got to go a long way.
River otters are somewhat social in that they stay in family groups. So you can sometimes find four or five together traveling, and usually it's a pair and their young moving around.
How about bugs? When you get down to the insect part of the animal kingdom, which is a large portion of the animal kingdom, do those yellow-banded millipedes, are they starting to show up now?
Not yet, but they will as soon as we get water.
Yeah, because they come out of the yard.
Yeah.
Huh?
Once we get some moisture in the soil, then they're going to have more food. They will begin breeding also, and when the water gets deep as a result of lots of rains that we have, and the soil gets saturated, then they're on the move, and they'll move around. They're harmless. Except they're a nuisance.
Yeah, they get in the houses too.
They will get into your house. You can pick them up and take them outside. They are things that like to be under something. So if you've got a yard with a lot of millipedes, put a board down or some stones down out at the edge of your property and they'll hide under there.
Maybe. Oh, that's a good idea. I'll try that. I will definitely try it because I get them all the time. How about the swallow-tailed kites?
Yep.
Tell me about these guys.
Swallow-tailed kites are hawks. They're a special kind of hawk. They feed on lizards and small birds. And we have a problem in Southwest Florida that I'd really like to see us do something about. And the problem is that there are a number of people, even some companies, that are out pruning trees – opening trees up so the sunlight can filter through and the grass right at the base of the tree will grow and all of that. When you do that, you should do it in midwinter before birds begin nesting. Mm-hmm. Birds start nesting here, and some of them as early as mid-January and others in February. And once they have their nest built, they're going to stick with it as long as they can. But if the tree is then opened up by pruning in February or March or April, and I saw people pruning trees yesterday, that opens it up so that swallowtail kites and other birds of prey can just dive straight into the tree and eat the young, and they will. We lose most nests to predators that are going into a tree that has been pruned late in the season.
Kind of opportunist. So, yeah. So it's not just
– before you prune, even if you have to prune now, mm-hmm. check for nests before you begin pruning. We've had nests that were cut out of the tree.
Yeah.
Just dropping the babies to the ground when they did it.
Yeah. I mean – you usually think about pruning a tree, making sure that there's not a nest there so that you don't have that just falling right to the ground with the branches. I mean, that makes sense. But then you also don't want to leave it still in the tree wide open and vulnerable.
No, that's right. And also pruning hedges. Check your hedge for nests before you begin pruning. Because if you – oh, you say, well, I'm only going to prune within 2 inches of the nest, or I'll leave a little bit up there above. Leave it all above.
Yeah, they could use that protection.
Yeah. They do need the protection.
What about beneath the waves? Do fresh or saltwater fish have any behavior changes during the springtime? Are they going nuts too?
Well, they are very seasonal as to when they breed. Most of them are. And right now is breeding season for a number of fishes, unfortunately for a number of exotic fishes that we have here too right now. So if you are walking around the ponds at one of our parks, you can usually see shallow basins, little hole-like structures. In the shallow water, those are nests of fishes.
Mm-hmm. So let's do a quick recap. Be aware of alligators. Stay away from them and don't bend over, stoop over in front of them. Keep your kids and dogs away, right?
Yep.
Any other pointers on alligators?
Just don't get close and don't feed them.
And know that they can run 40 miles an hour for short bursts.
For maybe up to 40 miles an hour for short bursts.
Well, I mean, I don't care if it's 35 miles an hour.
Yeah, right. Like, or 20 miles an hour or whatever. They can be incredibly fast all of a sudden.
Well, because they seem so lethargic, you just might take it for granted.
No, they are very much aware of your presence and never let a child near an alligator.
They have quite the poker face, though. They just don't look like they could care less. Nope. Right? And then we were talking about with what else did we talk about? Be careful pruning your trees. Don't leave nests vulnerable.
And if you see wildlife babies, leave them alone.
Little babies?
Baby raccoon, baby possum, you name it. There are going to be wildlife babies out there. And, oh, they are so cute. I want it as a pet. No, you don't want it as a pet because they grow up very rapidly. And most wild animals become very wild animals and very dangerous animals once they're older, and they can carry diseases that people can get.
And I've also heard with rabbits, a lot of times the mother leaves the baby rabbits alone for much of the day, so don't think they're abandoned.
But mama knows where they are.
And she'll come back at night. Yeah. All right. Well, that's about all the time we have for this part of our show. But I want to thank my guest, Dr. Jerry Jackson, a professor of ecological sciences at FGCU and the host of Out with the Wild Things here on WGCU. Dr. Jackson, as always, it's been a pleasure.
And I've enjoyed it very much.
I love having you come in. So stay tuned, because when we return, we're going to get to meet Trooper, the blind raccoon. He and his caregiver, Miss Dot, work to teach respect for animals and all living things. This is Gulf Coast Live on WGCU. So stay with us.